Okay. Please refer to TR3.
Thank you.
Good idea, Craig. Very good idea.
No,
that's
not scary.
Okay, TR3 is the whole combination of the whole, every little last document that I have to complete in the budget. So to answer, go back to Sasha's, Sasha's question, okay. If you look at TR1, lines 20 through 22 is the last quarter of 2012, okay? With any and all of this of our fund drives, we do not receive income the very next month as 100% or even in the same month as 100%. It gets spread out over 1 year and sometimes even greater, but for the purposes of budgeting, we only spread it out over 1 year. We get the majority of it almost immediately. Well, we get about 50% immediately because we run credit cards. And then we send out bills, and maybe someone doesn't pay their bill, so then we send out a second bill and we send out a third bill. After three times, that's it, you're out. But that's what we call the fulfillment rate of 89. It's actually 89.9%. But it is spread out over the whole year whenever it comes in. So you cannot, and I tried to explain this to someone who unfortunately is not here today, you cannot look at this TR1 and match it up to anything number for number in TR3. It doesn't work like that. It comes in throughout the whole year, okay? So to answer Sasha's question, the income that you see in TR1, again, gets spread out, but the expenses are in the month that they are. So if you have a July fund drive, you're not going to see the income for the July fund drive specifically corresponding with the July expenses. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
You mean
great.
Income?
Where are
the July
expenses?
The July fund drive, you cannot, you know, relate it to the July, specifically to the July income.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're not showing the expenses on TR1.
That's because that's just a document for figuring out our fund drives. Okay. TR1 is just, helps us calculate how much we expect revenue for listener support only, for fund drives.
Why does it say 100% success expected, and why does
pledges.
It say 105% success for KPFA Fresno and LA in another column?
Okay, let's go through this report very specifically just to. So you have the start date and the end dates, columns D and E. You have the number of days in the month for column F, and column G is the number of days total in the fund drive. For example, July 2012 and August 2012. We started the fund drive on July 23rd, and we ended it on August 2nd. We had 9 months in the month of July, 2 months of the, 9 days in the month of July, 2 days in the month of August. Total days of fund drive were 11. For the purposes of budgeting, you don't take into the account the number of days of the fund drive. That's just an informational number. The 9 days of fund drive in the month of July is what rolls into the budget itself. Okay? So then when we used to call it the chalkboard total. Well, the number that goes up on the board in the phone room as the total goal is KPFA, Fresno, and Los Angeles all rolled into one. The reason I have 105% there is because in LA we do not bring it into any of our databases, not accounting, not MEMSIS, nothing. We just simply take the pledge cards and email them to Los Angeles, and they take care of everything from there. So our fund drive goals are 105%, But then you back out 5% for LA, which leaves you 100%. 5.3%, which you'll see in column O, goes to Fresno. Mm-hmm. 94.7 stays with KPFA. Column I, which you see there, that success rate, to be honest, I should have changed that to, what were we, Andrew, over 100? We were over 12%, 16%? This last fund drive, we were over 16%?
In terms of that year,
So that number should have been 116%, but I found that out after I had, you know, submitted this. So that success rate is simply what we would expect the fund drive to accomplish.
The pledges.
Yeah.
Where it don't confuse this percent with the ultimate receipt of pledges that people honor. When that is close to 90%. This column of 100% is just representing what happened on that fund drive in the fund room, you know, in the phone answering room, and it's speaking to whether or not we get the amount pledged that we're seeking.
So this is actual?
No. Well, this is still projected. This is still projected. This is a budget. You have to project. We don't know what the actuals are.
For instance, one of the things we're projecting is that about 5% of what we raise actually goes to Los Angeles. That differs when the money actually comes in. But ahead of time, we have to make a guess. And so we say, well, it's over years, it's averaged out about 5%. So in our totals that we put up when we're trying to raise money, we know we're going to be lopping off 5% that's going to go to L.A. And we also know, now it's a little bit different processing for Fresno. We do a lot of the processing, but we also know that that's usually 5.3%. So these are projections just on how to handle this money that we're guessing is going to come in when we start fundraising.
So the LA, the KPFA portion is projected as 301 mm-hmm. minus 89, you know, whatever the 89 is.
Exactly.
That's eventual.
Yeah.
And that is then that whatever that minus 89, you know, 89% of 3,301,000 is what is then on TR3?
TR3, line 8. Yeah, and
but that's spread out over a whole.
Yeah, and that's spread out over a whole. Actually, it's spread out over the month of July of 2012, August of 2012, September of 2012, and it probably would go all the way through June of 2013. Okay, it's a kind of a convoluted, complicated, you know.
Whenever people pay a pledge, they could pay it months later. But the people who run our database have that pledge in there, even though maybe the person made it 5 months ago. And so it would still count as listener support. It would be, you know, the record then would show that that person paid that pledge.
Go ahead.
Okay. But then if you look at 2013, yeah, and you combine July and August.
Tell me what TR number?
TR3.
Uh-huh.
If you look at July and August, it's projecting our listeners' support to be, you know, $375,000. Well, if you look at the combination of July and August, it's...
Are you talking about line column L and M?
Column L and M, correct.
That's for next year.
Right, so we're projecting to bring in a lot more than we brought in this year in July and August.
Okay, let me just, one more time. I hope I'm explaining this right. We have, let's say we have $100,000 in our pledge. We have a goal of $100,000 for KPFA in Fresno. Okay, we have a fulfillment rate of 89.9%. That fulfillment rate does not all come in the month of that fund drive. That fulfillment rate comes in throughout a whole 12-month period. Okay, so at the end of a whole calendar or a whole 12 months, okay, we expect that $100,000 in pledges to convert to $89,900. Okay? That's where the fulfillment rate comes in. So if you have $100,000 in pledges, we expect $89,900 in total revenue for that fund drive. But it comes in over, spread out over a 12-month period. So you might see in, let's just pretend that we have a $100,000 pledge, or goal, excuse me, for our fall fund drive, October 12th, 2012. Okay, let's just say we have a goal of $100,000 in October. Pretend.
No, I understand the theory. I'm just not understanding how you come up with the figures that are then.
If I understand what Sasha's question is, she's looking at July, August, and September for next year.
And
she's saying, how does that relate to July, August, and September of this year?
You're looking at, I was actually just looking at July and August of this year, which would look like what we're actually going to bring in is roughly $267,000. And yet, if you look at July and August of next year, it looks like, hold on a second, it looks like we're projecting to bring in $380,000.
Okay. Every single number for every month in line 8 is made up of every fund drive that and renewals and it's everything that's it. Pardon me?
Plus those that are dispersed over 12 months.
Okay, so fund drives are dispersed over 12 months. We also have renewals in listener support. We also have direct mailings in listener support. Sustained, we don't really even have that, but I can't. There are a lot of revenue streams that go into listener support. It's not just fund drives.
I understand that, but why are we projecting $160,000 more listener support in the months of July and August of next year than this year? But this year also would include all of those things in it. The figures for this year would also include all of those things in it. It would include renewals of membership. It would include
Sasha.
12 months spread across the year?
This is just on-air fundraising.
That's just on-air fundraising.
That's all it is. The revenue, there are many revenue streams that make up listener support. And this is not dramatically different from what we projected last year.
Okay, and I didn't bring the projections for renewals and direct mailing. I was trying to eliminate.
That's what I'm trying to understand when I'm looking here, because I feel like if we're comparing apples and oranges, I think we need that really seriously spelled out to us.
You need to, I'm sorry, I missed what
if
you said.
If we're comparing apples to oranges, then I think that has to be clearly spelled out
that,
to us.
That's what I was trying to.
That on this page, the revenue stream includes this, and on this page, it includes six other things.
Okay.
That's right.
And I didn't bring everything because, like I said, it would have been a book.
But, I mean, I don't realize that.
Okay. Listener support. Listener support.
These things for comparison, but they really can't be compared because they include different things in them.
And different months and years.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Right. Yeah, you cannot relate apples to apples in this. So, and if I were to bring you the document that spreads it out and figures it all out, again, it's a very...
Okay.
So,
So let's just talk about TR3.
Okay. So, website income, line 9, that is literally what it's called, website income, that is miscellaneous pledges that come in...
Not associated
with fund drives.
Money.
Yes.
Not associated.
And so $41,000 in December reflects the fact that a bunch of people give money away during the month of December before the end of the year.
Exactly. Exactly. This year we had 50,000 plus.
Okay.
So as you can see, I have been very conservative in it. You can, in TR2, look at the supporting page 1 right at the front. It says website income outside of fund drives. TR2, the very first.
18-pager.
Yeah, the very first box there is website outside of income. In previous years, website. Outside of fund drive, thank you. In previous years, website income outside of fund drives was included in listener support. In 2009, I realized that we were overstating our listener support and not putting anything into website income, which, by the way, just as a matter of note, website income outside of Fund Drive is not levied. In previous years, we were over-levying our money. I tried to make
it paid to the central offices,
yes. So that my predecessor, for whatever reason, did that, and that's fine, you know, and I tried to fix it for 2009, and I got my hand slapped. So we said, okay, we started in 2010, excuse me. We started in 2011, okay? So let's see. Next one would be corporate match, and it's exactly the third line down, and that's exactly what it says, corporate match. It's if you work for Microsoft or Chevron or whatever, they will match the pledges. Okay. Let's see. Lines 11 and 12, along with line 9, which is website income, are miscellaneous non-pledges money that come in. What Chris does, Chris, our database manager, if he gets a check and it doesn't have a specific stub to it, he will look at the database and he says, Mr. Smith has completely paid up all of his pledges, but yet he sent in a $100 check. That means Mr. Smith just wants to give us an extra $100. He first looks at all the pledges. If it is associated to a pledge, he puts it towards listener support. If all the pledges are paid up, he puts it in as a miscellaneous income, which is, again, not levied. Car donations. Chris has done a great job at securing a new company for us. They have just gone like gangbusters, and so we are conservatively estimating $54,000 coming in throughout the year. And because I don't know when someone's car is going to break down, I can't say what month it's going to, you know, we expect it, so I just spread it out. Community events, again, Mr. Baldock, he cannot tell me what event he's going to have in September of 2013, so I purely go on history there. Crafts fair, Jan changes things up sometimes, so I don't know what she's going to do. When I'm preparing this budget, I don't know what she's going to be doing in the month of November, so I'm just going on historical figures. CPB. The CPB grants, we have gotten dinged, the whole network has gotten dinged for, and I can't explain it exactly correctly, it has something to do with the fair market value of our pledges.
The premiums, it has to do with premiums. We've claimed, a certain amount of income, and in the expense column for fund drives are the premiums that we purchase. And so those have been reported at the cost that we've actually paid. There's somebody somewhere in some high place who thinks that we should be claiming the fair market value of these. In other words, in the report that we turn into CPB, our income should be reduced by the fair market value of these items. It's not all items, it's just some that are very high priced. So there's been an audit done by CPB, and they've looked at our records, and the next money we get is going to have a reduction based on the difference between the fair market value and the actual cost of these premiums that we've purchased and then turned over to donors. And the two stations that have the largest amount that's going to be corrected are WBAI and KPFK. Our amount is $24,000, and they're not going to take it all out of one CPB payment. We're going to be able to split it into three. And they also do not know exactly when this is going to start, but we were advised to put it into the budget immediately, reduce the amount that we expect to get by $8,000. And so Maria has made that correction. Now, one of the things about the CPB money is, since our grants are figured on past years, 2 years past, is it? Anyway, there's a time lag, so that when we're making out this budget, CPB money can be estimated as to how much we're going to be getting in the coming fiscal year. And so this amount for this year has been reduced by $8,000. The figure you see here is the corrected one.
And let's see, and just to piggyback on that, we do a portion of the CPB grant reporting at KPFA National Office, and the auditors do another portion, and thank God that was not my responsibility. So anyway, let's see. Grants income, line 19, 20, and 21, you'll see it's all the same. Our biggest problem right now is not having a development director. You know, the grants coming in, it's just a godsend when it comes in. We literally run around with a check going, look. Miscellaneous other income, we get payments from, I think it's CBS, and they have something on our towers, on our, you know. So anyway, that's just the estimated money that's, also we get reimbursed from the university when we use work studies, cheap labor. So let's see, lines 29 through 34 is a summary of all the expenses.
Uh-huh. Can we stop for a moment?
Sure,
and just
of course.
Look at the income for a minute?
Sure, of course.
Because I've got a couple.
No, go ahead. I'd rather do it now than, yeah.
Let's see. Website income, mm-hmm. number 9. You've got projected for fiscal year 2013, $90,000 mm-hmm. of revenue. In fiscal year 2011, it was $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
How are we almost doubling?
Well, website income from 1 year to the next, from 2011 to 2012, went up 30%.
Mm-hmm.
And in talking with our database manager and Phil Osageda and our GM, we're hoping we're on an upswing when it comes to our income. So we are estimating, I'm estimating that by the end of fiscal year 12, we're going to be at 82,000. So
okay.
I'm figuring, you know, we're 90,000 is a doable.
Okay. And the next, well, two lines down, number 11.
2010 actually was over 90,000.
Yes, I saw that. But so I'm kind of puzzled about what the heck happened there.
Goes up and
but
down.
That's another discussion. We don't need to have that here. I was just curious. On number 11, you're showing, well, if you start with 2011, you have 40,000, and 2012, you have 110,000, and then you have 205,000 projected. Do we know something, or you know something about where the next major donor is coming from?
Well, let's see, I think I may have, if you go to page 2 of TR2, I made a note there for you so you can read it, you know, and absorb it if you wish later on this afternoon. The line item 27 on TR2, it, major donors, that was not used previously. If you look at the actual budget, it shows zero in that for 2009. That's a fairly new item.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, again, because we don't have a development director, I have no idea what major, it's over $1,000 and under $1,000. Also, by the way, as a matter of note, major donors used to be over $5,000, but the CPB has lowered it. So, you know, we've kind of gone from a higher amount to a lower amount.
So, okay, so if we look at actual 9 months and projected 3 months, you're at $173,000. Right, on that same category, major donor.
Number document are you looking at?
I'm a TR3.
Okay.
Yeah, number 11, line 11. So you're at 173 is what you expect we're going to close this year out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then it's not that much a leap. Do we know who these people are? Where are we trending from?
It's, okay, what?
From hiring gold busters.
Yeah. No, expecting will be the difference, but...
Well, if you look at TR2,
yeah.
on page 2,
right.
I combined, because the goal for the budget for... Excuse me, let me... The budget for major donors was 110,000, and we came in with 173.
Right.
The budget for I call them minor donors, was 145, and we came in with 113. So we were way over on major, we were under on lower. So what I did is I just took the total of two and came up with a number.
Okay. All right. Community special events, mm-hmm. Yeah. What was originally budgeted was 34. You're expecting 64 in.
We expect that we're going to do really well. I'm sorry, when's the big one? Hedges?
Yeah. It's Gabor Mate in September.
Yes.
We already had Hedges. I was there. Okay. The last one I have here. No, actually, two more. The grants on CPB. These have been declining over time. Is that the way it was granted?
Yes.
Okay. And...
And I do get that number, by the way, from National Office. I do not know what to expect.
Okay. Got it. All right. That's all my income questions.
Marty,
should
I read this?
Sure.
Mal
has
This is from Brian. There were a lot of ballots waiting at the Berkeley.
He was observing the ballot that got the recall.
Right.
There were a lot of ballots waiting at the Berkeley Community Center.
That's not on.
Waiting at the Berkeley Post Office. So many that the postal workers lent us a cart to take them over to storage. Union Bank ran out of safety deposit boxes. We took the rest of the ballots to mechanics. Ward has opened the boxes in his name. No one else can access them. We had him seal the keys in envelopes after he finished depositing the ballots. Then several of us witnessed signing across the seals on the envelopes and taped them up. Hopefully they will stay that way until the ballots get pulled for counting.
That's it.
Andrew, is there anything you want to, on income? Okay. And by the way, expenses are something, is a known item, so I can figure that out. Income, to me, is a total guess,
It's leap of faith budgeting.
But it is also, with the help of Chris, Phil, and Andrew.
At the PMB, they gave us your report here, and it's a little bit different.
It's not the same report.
And it's a part of what they gave us in terms, and it's called the consolidated and the. Okay, and it covers the same months, like you have here, same line items. And their line items seem to be different, quite different for the... Could you explain that to me, please?
Well, this is a budget. Okay, this is the budget. And this has every line item, income and expenses that we would use. When you look at the actual profit.
Well, one we haven't numbered yet. The report that was for 9 months plus the projected income and expenses for the final 3 months of the fiscal year.
This is a profit loss or a projection.
This is
two different things.
This is prepared by Maria based on our information.
Actual.
The ones that happened or were distributed at the PNB or soon right around that time by the CFO I wrote an email to her and asked her where she got her figures, because they disagreed so severely with ours. And, of course, there was no answer to that until we had the Finance Committee meeting on Monday the 30th. And I asked her again. This is a phone meeting. And I didn't get a satisfactory answer then either. In fact, I was sort of attacked for asking the question. And however, Andrew and Maria went ahead and did what the PNB requested, which was to produce this report that you're seeing here now. And I think it's caused quite a, I don't know, an upset that, in fact, it doesn't agree with the CFO's report. And she did say something in the meeting, in the Finance Committee meeting, about having had, I said, where did you get these numbers? We expect that it would be, at least the financial analyst would be involved in her office. She more or less poo-pooed that, said, asked me where I got that information. She did say she had some volunteer help to prepare her forecast. And I don't know who, I have no, the TRs were used
today. I think it's a TR something.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, I want to make it clear, these are treasurer's reports. That's what TR means in this instance.
Yeah. Okay. In that other instance, it might be a TR report.
Presented to the PNB and what you're presenting to us now, or what?
Let's put we
it
haven't had
way.
Time to
what
do
is
that
the difference
analysis.
In the, do you know the difference in the bottom line between what the CFO's numbers are and ours? Because if they pass hers, I think it would be interesting. Okay, you know, do you have a bottom line?
Okay, to tell you, deficit? To tell you the truth, I looked at that projection. And I basically didn't pay attention to it any longer. So I can't say to you what exactly the differences are. And the reason is that when I looked at
what's the bottom line deficit?
We will actually, there's time now to make that analysis comparison before it comes up at the next finance committee.
But the way the resolution was put out is that the general manager and the business manager were to do the projections. So I didn't even pay attention to that any longer. Andrew and I created what we believe is an actual,
This was created before the Dan Siegel?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
And this was presented. What I have here is presented at the PNB meeting.
Yes.
If it wasn't created before the Dan Siegel resolution, it ignored the Dan Siegel resolution.
Yeah, that was created before the Dan Siegel resolution. And just as a matter of interesting fact, we were told that we had to cut $300,000 worth, and we're getting off the subject of the budget, but yeah. But as a matter of fact, that now I do remember, that has a $125,000 deficit, what was sent out to the PNB. Plus what Andrew was told that we had $175,000 of unpaid legal bills. $125,000 plus $175,000, $300,000. I don't know if it's a matter of coincidence. I just thought it was kind of interesting. Just one other matter of fact, when it comes to that $175,000 worth of legal bills.
That we have not been given yet.
Right, correct. There are many, many hundreds of thousands of dollars of legal bills that we have not been given and that aren't actually on the books anywhere, with the exception of Folger Levin, which was expensed in fiscal year 11, so therefore should not and cannot be again expensed again. Exactly. So that would be hitting us twice, and you can't do that.
We get hit all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't mind sharing in the network, but hi.
Yeah.
You don't want to pay for your groceries twice?
let's move, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we're losing people here. Okay.
We're
going to expenses.
So I'm just asking this because it's been a past controversial subject, mm-hmm. not because I intend to make it into one, but I'm just my imagination is working. So under expenses, you have community events lumped together, but you don't have like Crass Fair and the Bob Baldock events separated out. Because they are going to look
expenses?
At that.
Expenses? No, expenses on in TR.
Line 34 on the first page of TR.
Look at that's
3.
A summary. That's a summary.
Right.
And then look on page 5, line 167, 68, and 69. That's the detail.
167 and more. Okay.
The last three lines, the very last three lines
okay.
of the budget.
I see that. Yeah.
Yeah. What you're looking at on page 1 is the summary of each grouping. If you will.
Right, okay.
Like personnel costs.
Line 34 is the same as line 1.
Right, that's what I'm saying, yeah. Everybody with me on that? Okay. So let's see. The first summary is personnel costs. So if you go to page 2, you'll see the gross salaries, severance pay, which I did not include in this budget because we are not planning any cuts, taxes, 403 contribution, health benefits, and child care and parking, which we don't have parking costs anymore. Oh, page 2, line 62. Page 2, line 62. So that's the detail of the summary of the first page. Child care is in the union contract, and it just helps reimburse the employees since they really don't make a lot of money. It helps reimburse for their child care depending on the age of their child and the percentage of time that they work. In other words, if they're a part-time 50% person, they get paid 50% of the allotment by the union. Parking, in previous years, the business manager and general manager used to get a parking space paid parking space at Golden Bear right around the corner. National office still does, but we lost that privilege. So, anyway. Let's see, salaries again does not have, I did not bring the salaries thing because it just, because we do not have any cuts, so it's basically the same as it is. Yeah, and with the exception of the knowledge that, like Barbara said, we have we do not have a development director budgeted in, we do not have a program director, but we have a part-time assistant to the general manager. And no one, unfortunately, has any pay increases. So, go ahead.
So 2013 does not have those two positions budgeted in it, is it?
Not in salaries. But, Sasha, we have the Goal Busters. They are, came in during Andrew's talk, that they are a firm that is, you know. Exactly. They are included under development. They are contractors.
Under contractors?
Well, we could go there later. Yeah. Anyway, so that's salaries. I don't know if they're health benefits, by the way, tends to increase about 10% for Kaiser every year. Dental increases about 5%. We have a couple of employees that keep pushing and wanting for us to let them go on Medicare so we could reduce their health cost because it's not cheap, believe me. Let's see. And it was rejected by the national office last year in last year's budget. Yeah, you weren't here, were you? it's the reason that I understood it to be is that you know, we have excellent Kaiser coverage right now. We have, what, $5, $10 copays, I think, and I can't remember what else now, but, you know, Medicare, the copays are less, the maxes are less, and so on. So I would, you know, we wouldn't want to punish anybody who would go onto Medicare and have them have to do more out of pocket, so I would have to keep a reserve for them, and I would have to keep track of that reserve. The way I understood from national office is that they did not want to have that happen because they didn't want to go through the trouble of keeping a track of the reserves, but I would have kept track of it at KPFA ourselves, not national office.
That's right, it's contract negotiations.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But it would be a significant savings. Yeah, yes. Yeah, because our Kaiser is expensive. Sasha?
So the breakdown on looking at TR3, page 1, under expenses for administrative programming and development, those are broken down on page 5, is that correct?
Yeah, 3 now. Page 3? Line, well, like...
So what's going into development? It shows development here as $344,000.
Right. Let me go section by section, and then it'll be easier that way. So the next section I would say would be the local board expenses, which is on line 74 through 76, which is part of the... It's summarized on line 30, detailed on line 74. And you all are having an election coming up, so that is budgeted there for, and by the way, that $30,000, $30,800 budgeted in October, November, and December, that is only a partial of it because the rest of it is budgeted in this year. So you see there that I estimate in column Q, estimate $20,000, $20,700 for board expenses, and then this year, or excuse me, 2013 is budgeted $30,800 for local board election expenses. Property, the next line, which starts administrative expenses, again is summarized on line 31, detailed on starting on line 81. Property taxes. We have been successful in getting national office and knock-upon, which is what we always call it, which is 1921 and 1925 is one parcel, and it did not have a, previously it did not have a nonprofit status. It now has a nonprofit status, and we have received close to $20,000 in refunds on that. So thank you. And just for a matter of record, and I know it will go on the record, property taxes for KPFA have never been paid late. And that is public record and can be found in the Alameda County Tax Collector.
In spite of claims to the reverse.
Yes. So anyway, that's... consultants, line 82, $41,802 is what we have budgeted, which is what was proposed to us by Goldbusters. Thank you. And by the way, all of the expenses, not all of them, but a lot of the expenses are detailed out in TR2. Okay? So same as the income was, some of the income was detailed out. It gives you historical numbers and how I possibly would have projected some of them. For example, you just average out or estimate or guesstimate. So let's see. Next line, telephone radio lines. Again, it's on TR2 if you want to look at any detail, but it is what it is. Internet cable, which is line 85. Is again detailed out in TR2, and that is for LMI and ViaNet, and those are necessary for the web and so on, but don't ask me any technical questions. let's see, postage, it is what it is. Delivery, again, is what it is. Association dues and periodicals, their trade magazines and newspapers and such. Line 89, our favorite subject, legal fees. Again, detailed out in page 6 of TR2. We have, again, they are not in our books. We have not received the invoices, but we are aware of $125,000 of legal bills that are coming to us from Jackson Lewis. In February, we had 2012. In February of 2012, we had expensed out 13. We national office put on our books $13,000 worth of legal expense for Jackson Lewis, but we were not given that invoice to actually pay, so it remains unpaid. At the early part of July, we were asked for money from national office, but I insisted that we get a bill as opposed to just giving more money. So we were given a $28,000 bill for Jackson Lewis. And to be very honest, we cut the check. It went to the wrong address, thank God, because we then found ourselves a little short of money. That check came back to us, and it is now literally the checks in the mail. So anyway, that is now in our books. $13,000.
We got an invoice for that, right?
We did get an invoice. We got an invoice from national office that was the top page.
It was incomplete.
It was an incomplete invoice. It was a cut and pasted invoice, and I called Jackson Lewis and got the detail. Right. Yes.
And it seems legitimately ours.
I could not tell if it was legitimately ours. It's very difficult to. I mean, maybe the attorneys in our group can.
At least some of it is ours.
Yeah. Okay. Jack had a question. Yeah. Use the microphone, Jack.
You may have just answered this question, mm-hmm. but I want to clarify the answer. When KPFA gets a bill for attorney fees, mm-hmm. does the bill specify for which actions the attorney fees are directed?
On the front page of the Jackson Lewis bills, it shows the case on the very top of, you know, which is the current case that's can I say the word, the name?
Yeah.
It's okay. It's the Mania case, and it says right on the top of the bill. The Folger Levin bills or Levine bills, it's hard to differentiate. Well, actually, I think I've only seen one. And then the Adler Colvin bill, which we paid, was $18,000 back in, I can't remember right now, but it was at the early part of this year. That was difficult to differentiate. Well, it says that it's to review the PNB bylaws. It is to review the PNB bylaws for the purpose of the director's inspection, and for the purpose of the recall election, and for the purpose of the election altogether, because from how I understand it, national office was trying to push off the LSB elections, so the attorneys were consulted on that. Personally, I believe that's a national expense, as opposed to a KPFA expense. Okay.
Of
course it is.
Mm-hmm. I would request or suggest that sometime at, you know, when things settle down for both Maria and Barbara, there be some kind of effort made to push the issue of what it is that comprises legitimate legal expenses for KPFA, and which legal expenses really ought to be covered by the national office.
Jack, I would very much agree with that, and Andrew might be able to confirm this. With the one bill of Jackson Lewis that I was handed, it was just the summary page and a cut-and-paste page. I personally was reprimanded for asking for the detail from the attorney. So I would ask that maybe the board ask the national office as a group to say, this
We need analysis of the legal bills.
I
just
suggest that that be put on the agenda for the September meeting.
No, do we need a resolution?
Okay. Can I bring in a resolution?
Yes, Mel.
I want to be clear that what I'm suggesting is, I mean, you're an employee of the office, and it would not be appropriate for the board to give you any direction. But I want to suggest that the station office consider that it is inappropriate for the station to pay bills that are not sufficiently detailed so that we can see that they are, in fact, the station's bills. That's a very poor accounting practice. It's a very poor business practice. And I think we should hold out for bills that are sufficiently detailed so that we can see what the hell we're paying for. I mean, I have intimate knowledge of lawyers' bills. I sent them out for many, many years, and they were always detailed enough so that the client knew what the hell they were paying for.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why in my 30 years of experience in accounting and business manager, you know, just in my experience, I've never paid an invoice. You don't pay an invoice, or excuse me, you don't pay a statement, which is a summary of all the invoices, and you don't pay an invoice with just one page. So
I just want to point out that in about 15, 25 minutes, we will reach the end of the time allotted for this discussion. So, and I hope we can do that, because I'm hoping that we can do that. So, so I just want to urge people to, you know, think about that, and let's move forward.
But we did start late, right?
We did start
late. Yeah, okay.
No, we started on time for your...
Oh, we did? Okay. Okay, so then let's just, legal issues are always just, when I'm saying here in October through February how this all got started is that if we know for a fact, or if we know that we were told that we have $125,000 worth of legal bills from Jackson Lewis, we had 13,000 hit our books at the earlier part of this calendar year, and we have 28,000 that was paid in July by ourselves, by us. We have the remainder of $84,000 to pay. And to be quite honest, that would put a big hit on our cash flow. So I have spread it out over 5 months' time and say they'll get paid when they get paid. Supposedly they've been at National Office for a while, and, you know, I'm sorry, that just we can't take a hit of $84,000 to our cash flow. Sasha?
It sounds like part of a bill that was paid doesn't even sound like it belonged to us.
Well,
perhaps
Jackson
the recall
Lewis
expense was, questions don't sound like they were really our bills.
Right.
So don't we need, I mean, question for everybody, don't we need some sort of a resolution dealing
that's what
with
I think,
the bills? Don't we need it like now rather than waiting for another month? I mean, help me out here. What are we saying? Who do we direct it to where we might have some chance of success of getting National to respond?
Well, I believe
ask our GM
tried
ask for an
to
explanation,
do this already,
but I know he's already tried.
Yeah.
I think what's going to happen is bills that we've paid have to be analyzed as well as bills that we are yet to receive. And so there may be some corrections, you know, credits given for some part of some bill we've paid where it wasn't really clear that that item on there was ours. And any bills we get now, we should be really diligent about asking for an analysis.
Will this be a topic of conversation at your Thursday financial
meeting
with the CFO?
If I had any pull, it might be for the National Finance Committee, but I'm sort of...
No, the CFO on Thursday. Aren't you meeting with the CFO on Thursday to do some... So could that also perhaps be
part of it?
That's actually, is that the meeting that's supposed to review all the interstation?
Okay.
Yeah, that's another huge project. And I think that the business with the legal bills, I've looked at some of them, and there are descriptions of time being charged for communicating with the ED, emails back and forth. It's hard to say what those subjects were. And there is also, there are times being charged where an attorney in one office is reviewing something another attorney said previously. So I think these are questions that need analysis, and they, you know, I think we can end up paying some bills that'll have to be renegotiated after the fact. But you shouldn't be bogged down too much in reviewing this budget.
Oh, no, no,
about it.
Okay.
That's just a side, one of our big problems.
I want to ask people to focus, to be quiet, and listen to whoever's speaking. I want to get through this in the next time. Do you want the floor, Andrew?
Of information on the legal bills. A couple of things. Firstly, apparently there's privacy issues related to the bill. Apparently, I said, I don't know if that's true or not, but apparently there are. So we don't get all the information we should have. That's what I've been told. We're having a meeting on Thursday, but I don't expect to get complete resolution by any means. At least we'll have the meeting. These bills have been held by Pacifica for an indeterminate amount of time, quite a long time. And it seems when Pacifica sort of gets in a panic mode, if I can put it that way, when they gets down to the last moment and they're being asked to pay the bill, then we get the bill, we get rushed into paying it, and we're kind of forced into this situation where we're rushed. We don't get the information. If we don't pay the bill, it's problematic. It's just not professional, and we really need to sort out this legal situation. And I'll leave it there.
I think you could say rushed into paying a really not. We haven't been given bills. We've been rushed into paying a certain amount because they need it, and sometimes we're told it's going to be applied to a bill. We know of one particular sum that was going to be applied to a bill, and when it turned out, showed up on the ledger, they hadn't paid that amount for the bill. They'd paid less. So the money that we gave them, without having the bill, went somewhere else as well.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I want to respectfully request that we not discuss this anymore and that we focus on getting through the budget. We can have a full discussion on the September meeting agenda about legal bills and our response to them. Okay? Thank you.
So I hope I can ask the board's indulgence as not a full-fledged board member here, but I did want to come back to one item on the budget. And I remember the budgeting last year, I believe it was the computer maintenance fund or the IT fund. We had budgeted $50,000, and we cut that. And there were some of the issues then had to do with the telephone system and with the, you know, just maintenance and replacement of equipment. And I know Roger Marquis, the IT consultant, was also very anxious about this. He came and presented to the board about that. So I'm just wondering if you can maybe cover some of those, and perhaps the general manager can inform us whether there are any, you know, upgrade projects or any sort of, you know, budgeting issues we need to look at in the technical department.
That's coming if we could get past the legal part. Yeah. And regarding the legal, I would be happy to give a summary. I will send it to Margie and Barbara here, and they could pass it on to you guys, and then you guys could have the details for the September. Okay. Mel?
Can I make a motion? Would that be in order?
Sure. A motion's always in order.
I move that the LSB accepts the budget presented and adopts it.
Second.
Okay. Are there any objections? secretary take a roll call vote, if that's okay with you? All right, roll call vote on the budget. Okay, you want me to answer? Oh, Craig has...
But can we get the answer?
Sure, sure, sure.
Craig has a pending question.
Okay, yes, and I will answer. I will answer that right now. Okay, all of our administrative expenses, just to go really quick, are just based on historical data. Depreciation is in there. Again, it's historical. Oh, by the way, on depreciation, we have some really weird things in depreciation, such as chairs. Okay? Anyway, okay, computer maintenance. We had budgeted originally, as Craig said, we had budgeted, I believe it was, well, it was $50,000 more than you see on line 107, row 107, column R. It's now 12,407. If you add 50,000, we had budgeted 62,000. It's the very last line on page 3 of TR3. We are expecting to come in at about 27,000. Just like I said, you know, if you can say you're not going to have to fix your car, but if your car breaks, it breaks, and you have to get it fixed. So that's the way it works. I'm going up a little bit again, 36,000, just for the good measure of, you know, of trying to anticipate any computer issues. Our computers are extremely old, our servers are old, and when it comes to the telephone, anything that has to do with the telephone actually goes into a capital expenditure because we're changing the system. We have to buy new phones. They have to, again, I don't know all the technicalities of it, but any work that they do that is part of the capital expenditure. Just like when you build an addition to your home, that the labor is part of that capital expenditure. So the computer maintenance that you see is here is specifically for computer and not for telephone. Okay. I don't know if Andrew... Computer maintenance, anything... Well, you know what? Computers are no longer capitalized. Computers are now an expenditure item. There's, you know, gone are the days where they used to. Yes, that is included in that. Okay. Pardon me? Yeah. So anyway, let's see what else. There isn't anything else.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor, and we postponed the vote on it, so that Craig. Question could be answered. So now I'm asking the secretary to take a roll call vote. The motion was made and seconded that we approve the budget as presented.
The 2013 budget. And just for the sake of clarity, that's TR3. Okay. Okay, so Agamir is not here. Bernstein.
Yes.
Bernstein is yes. Drake. Drake is yes. Fest is not here. Futrin.
Yes.
Futrin is yes. Gans is not here. Goldmacher.
Yes.
Goldmacher is yes. Conhellinan.
Yes.
Conhellinan is yes. Matthew Hallinan.
Yes.
Matthew Hallinan is yes. Johnson is not here. Coburn is not here. Kurzweil.
Yes.
Kurzweil is yes. Knorr is not here. Pritchett is not here. Privis.
Yes.
Privis is yes. Rosenberg is not here. Russell. It's not here. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer is yes. Siegel is not here. Sterling is not here. Aki Tanaka is not here. Kate Tanaka is not here. Turner?
Yes.
Turner is yes. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Wilkinson is yes. Withers?
Yes.
Withers is yes. So that's 12 yes. No, no.
Okay. Now, please. Okay. Bye. Bye, Mel. Okay. Maria wanted to talk about a couple of other things, and then we'll move.
So FSRN, I notice, is a budget item in here, but it's also in arrears according to... So who gets paid for the FSRN, and have we been paying Pacifica, and they have just not been paying FSRN, or do we pay FSRN directly?
One of the other things that I would ask the board to do as a motion or whatever you all do is to ask Pacifica what specifically our central services is supposed to be used for. In other words, it's supposed to be used for Democracy Now!
It's supposed to be, I don't even know what else it's supposed to be used for, to tell you the truth. But when you see the FSRN, you'll see it as a revenue line item, and then you'll see the equivalent number on the expense line item. And the reason you see that is because the CPB money is supposed to go 100 of what comes to the stations, 100% of that CPB money is supposed to go to FSRN. So you see it as an income, you see it as an expense. We're not supposed to...
100%? What do you mean?
100% of the CPB money that's FSRN related.
Okay, a part of the CPB money, not the whole...
No, you see it in
it
two...
It was confusing when you said
okay, that. You see two line items, line 17 and 18. Line 18 is, it says CPB and PPAG. Don't know what that acronym is.
National Programming something.
Which is, in our case, FSRN. So the income comes in there and then goes out as an expense. In other words, we do not keep any of that income. Income, expense, zeros out, we're done. Pardon me? It's supposed to go to FSRN.
It's not going to FSRN.
We don't get the...
They put it on our books as our contribution from our allotment that goes to FSRN.
But we do not distribute that to FSRN. I'd be more than happy to have that money come to us, and I'd be more than happy to distribute it to FSRN, but we don't get it. So... let's see, and was that it? That was your question, right, Sasha? Oh, okay. Okay, in terms of, excuse me, shoot, what happened to that? The other one that I did?
This big one?
No, the one that I passed out. Here we go. Mind me borrow this. Okay, great. Early on when Andrew was speaking, I passed out a, excuse me, eating almonds. I passed out the projection, and then I also passed out a summary that shows how much money has been paid to National Office for 2010, 2011, and 2012. An email that was sent out by Tracy said that she was happy to see that we were now paying back old billbacks and such. Well, this is part of our meeting that we're supposed to have on Thursday, is to talk about all of our billbacks and central services and what is actually due. I have attempted to reconcile that account. It's extremely convoluted. I did not make these entries from way back when. Even my predecessor did not make a lot of these entries. So I believe that the responsibility would be on National Office to tell us what this is about. Since 2009 and on, I have been really looking at this. National Office gave us a summary of the money is due. It's not a reconciliation. A reconciliation tells you the details of what is left over. Those were simply numbers, totals, but balances, which I can find on our general ledger. But in the they showed what was still past due from 2010, 11, and 12. Well, if you look at 2010, we had central services of 465, I'm rounding, and payments of 271, and we still owed $194,000 back then.
465 is what was due by us.
Right. And then payments of 271. Bill backs were charged of $58,000. We had payments of $6,000. Yes, we still owed $51.8. Total due net there is $246,000. In 2011, and I won't go through everything, in 2011 we overpaid central services by $156,000. We underpaid billbacks by $95,000, but still in net we overpaid $60,000. In 2012, we overpaid central services by $135,000. We overpaid billbacks by $49,000. Overpaid a total all the way through June by $184,000. So between 2 years, we have overpaid $244,000. In my opinion, as the business manager for KPFA, mind you, $244,000 is the overpayment. In my opinion, that money should have been used to pay these legal bills that we are now being asked to pay. So basically, we gave money. It was given to National Office. I cannot speak to where it went to, but it didn't go to our legal bills. So we are now being asked to pay again to make up for those legal bills. So in 3 years total, we have owing a whole $1,500. And I'd love to just write that check and be done with it, but then we would not receive any more legal bills. So that's my spiel for that. our accounts payable, we had a total of $37,275 for accounts payable, which is actually, when I looked at it, I thought that was very high. And there's $22,000 of it is going to KP, which is the people who write our, who print up our renewals and our mailings. And part of that actually, $13,230 was for the recall. So that's a big chunk that goes there. And our cash in bank was about $75,000. Chris did, however, recently run a bunch of credit cards, and I can't remember, I think it was $84,000, $86,000, something like that, that he recently ran, which has not hit the bank yet. So from the pledges, from the fund drive.
Which will hit the bank in a day or two.
Yeah. So the only one last thing is CPB money. I did send an email to National Office. I have not received a response. I checked the CPB website, and those funds were released. They were, but we haven't seen any check, nor have we been told anything. So from October through to date, money going out, granted there are central services and billbacks that are associated with it, but we have paid National Office close to $600,000. And if CPB money goes into that, it'll be close to $700,000. And then from there, billbacks and central services would be paid. So that's it.
Okay, I think we all want to thank Barbara and Maria for their sterling work. And Andrew and the three of them spent probably hundreds of hours working on this, and I think we really appreciate it. Huh? You spent a little. You had some other things to do. Okay. At this point, I think we should dispense with the rest of the agenda. Nothing here meets the qualifications of pressing business, as was included in the. The balance of the agenda. The problem is the.
Check.
The CAP people are coming here at 3:30. Oh, that's all right. I don't have a cell phone number for any of them. Cab, I mean.
Oh, if CAP people are coming to address us at 3:30.
Okay.
I have the phone number for Sabrina. Sabrina's still the administrator for that, right?
I think Merrick Prophet is.
We're over now. We're adjourning.